Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. It is so good to be here with you this week. We are diving into the season of Advent, my very favorite time of year. I am just so excited that it is finally here. The season of hope, the season of waiting, the season of anticipation, the season of light. Oh, I just love this time of year. Such a wonderful time and great music and all kinds of wonderful things going on in worship. Just so much to be excited about. This week, we begin by diving into a look at Mary's Magnificat and how she experiences the coming of the Christ child in this moment and her willingness to serve and live out God's calling in her life. So let's take a look together with Reverend Eric Meyer. Enjoy.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. It's verses 26 through 38, and it's the foretelling of Jesus' birth. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christian, because Pentecost of the Resurrection. I was telling I was dialoguing with some young friends of mine recently, all of whom became followers of Jesus as a result of our encounters, and they were reminding me that they were followers of Jesus because of the resurrection. They told me very, very candidly, like, "Rudy, if he ain't alive, I'm out." And I had to understand that, because I really believe the same thing. If he ain't alive, I'm out.
Beginning was chaos. Chaos was water, a seething, boiling, black body of water. It filled the expanse of everything that is. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was a formless void within this chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God pulled apart the waters, and in that space created the heavens and the earth. And some of you are saying, "Wait, wait, wait, Eric. That's not exactly the story I've heard." But for the most part, that is the story in the first chapter of Genesis. But it's seen through a Jewish lens. And we don't see the story through the Jewish lens because long ago the Christian faith veered away from our Jewish traditions, and we don't spend nearly enough time in those Jewish traditions. But this is the story that Mary knew. This is the story that Mary had heard over and over and over again, as her dad would tell the story of their Jewish traditions to her and her siblings and her family every evening after dinner. They immersed themselves in the Word of God. And if we really want to understand the Word of God, we too should immerse ourselves in the Jewish traditions. We don't spend nearly enough time in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. So I'm offering you a suggestion for you to put on your Christmas wish list. The Jewish Publication Society's translation of the Hebrew texts, the Jewish Study Bible, printed by Oxford University Press. I have a copy of it on the altar if you'd like to take a look at it today. But it is only the Hebrew texts, and a magnificent, magnificent commentary on each one of the chapters, each one of the verses. But if you also want to understand how the Jewish people read the New Testament, I have a potential Christmas present for you as well. This is the Jewish Annotated New Testament. The Jewish people hear this story, the story of creation, and it is spread all throughout their scriptures. I offer you a piece of that scripture in our call to worship this morning, Psalm 74. The words echo this understanding of God separating the heavens and bringing order out of chaos. "How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand? Why do you keep your hand hidden? Yet God, my King, is from old, working salvation in the earth. You divided the sea, you divided the waters by your might. You broke the head of the dragons of chaos. You gave his body for food for the creatures in the wilderness. You cut openings in the springs and the torrents. You dried up the overflowing springs. Yours is the day, yours is also the night. You established the luminaries and the sun, and you have fixed all of the bounds of the earth. You made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs. and an immoral people insult your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild animals. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. From chaos to order, from creation to salvation, and the rest of the Jewish scriptures talk about the ever-present God working salvation in every moment. And the Jewish people understand that salvation from God comes in two ways. God sends people. God sent the judges. And after the judges, God sent kings. And the Jewish people knew there was only one reason for a king. And it wasn't to be a figurehead. It wasn't to be somebody who ruled the country. No, a king's purpose was to save and protect the people. And when the kings fell down on the job, God would send other people, the prophets, to try to bring the kings back into order. And eventually, God became flesh and dwelt among us. The second way that God saves is that imminence, that being with us in every moment. And the Jewish people knew that God was with them. God is with them in every moment. There is a Jewish prayer for every moment of the day. If there's a shooting star, there's a one-sentence prayer for shooting stars. If we have food on the table for breakfast, because that's not always given, there's a prayer for that. There are prayers that our bodies function properly. There are prayers that we were able to sleep last night, because sometimes sleep is so hard. For everything that happens, the Jewish people immersed themselves in prayer, and every evening they would gather around and hear the stories. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and we will love God with everything that we are, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength. And they wrote it on the doorstep, and they wrote it on their hearts, and they tied it to their foreheads, and they also knew that the stranger was to be cared for. Anyone who was hungry was to be given food. The stranger was to be welcomed in the home. There would be no homeless because you yourselves were strangers in the land of Egypt. And they lived this and they experienced God through this. And this was the life of Mary. A life immersed in relationship with God, the ever-present God. And this morning, the men have gone out to the fields, and the women are baking bread, and Mary is left alone. She's thinking about her wedding day. Her father has just told her that she will be married to Joseph. And according to Jewish tradition, there's a one-year wait between the announcement of the marriage and the actual ceremony. And Mary can't wait. And this morning, she's in the stable, she's mucking out the stalls, and she's dancing. She's dancing with her rake, and she's pretending it's Joseph, and she's thinking about what a beautiful day it'll be. And she hears a voice. Greetings. Greetings, most favored one. The Lord God is with you. And she stops, and she looks, and she's perplexed. Not at the man who's speaking to her, which is highly unusual. Why would there be a strange man talking to a woman all by themselves in a stable alone? Scripture doesn't tell us she's perplexed at the man. She's perplexed at the words. Most favored one. The Lord is with you. And as she's pondering this, Gabriel says what angels always say when they first meet a human being. Every single time. Do not be afraid. And Mary wasn't. So Gabriel continued, Mary, you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and bear a child in your womb. And you will name him Jesus. For he will be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will hand him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary doesn't question the reality, but she knows she's not going to be married for a year, and she understands where children come from, so she says, "How can this be?" Gabriel says, "Mary, the Holy Spirit will envelop you. The Holy One will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." And even in this very moment, your relative, Elizabeth, you know, the one who everybody has said is barren and can never have children, and now she's too old. Even right now in this moment, she is pregnant in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And the most beautiful words that we can offer, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And ever since, sermons and Bible commentaries and scholars have talked about the faith of Mary and how we all should live our life with the faith of Mary. Don't doubt, just have faith. When bad things happen, don't doubt, just have faith. We hold Mary up as an icon of the one who never doubted. But none of those sermons or commentaries or studies or authors ever talk about why Mary has this faith and what kind of faith she has. We all come here today after the holidays, the first of the holiday season, and we've all faced significant challenges probably. I don't know any family that survives Thanksgiving and says, "Whew, well, that was a blast. Can't wait for it to happen again." Most families I know say, "Oh, God, now we've got Christmas." It's not easy. Jesus knows that. And Mary knew that. And when we say, "Well, God brought me to it, God will get me through it," or "God can't give me anything that I can't handle," we're in very dangerous ground, because then we're relying on blind faith. We're saying that, "I haven't seen Jesus lately, but Jesus will get me through it. I just have to be strong like Mary was strong." But blind faith is not the faith of Mary. No, Mary's faith is grounded on a deep, abiding faith. Abiding means she lived in the presence of God. She spent all day in the presence of God. She prayed without ceasing. As she's thinking about her marriage, she's singing psalms. She knew the entire library of psalms by heart. They were the music of her life. They were the music of the Jewish people's life. They knew that life was very tenuous. Survival hung on a very slender string. And relationship with God is the only thing that kept them alive. Food on the table meant a blessing from God. In everything, Mary gave thanks to God. She didn't make assumptions. She poured her heart out. She poured her heart out for the people that were strangers in their town. And when Mary was in trouble, she gave. Now, when the angel Gabriel says, "Mary, this is going to happen to you," she wasn't afraid. Many commentators talk about the fact that Mary now is pregnant out of wedlock and could be killed by her family. Her brothers could kill her because she's breaking the taboos of their culture. But Mary has just been told that God is in this. That the long-awaited Savior is coming through her. She has nothing to be afraid of. She just has to wonder how this is going to happen. How can this be? Well, let it be then, and she lives into it. When we are challenged, when we have difficult days, when we are gathered around the table, and the teenagers wanting desperately to be adults and leave the home are fighting, and Dad can't keep his mouth shut. In those moments, when the text comes through that says, "Hey, Eric, I'm just thinking about you, I want you to know that I'm praying for your sermon tomorrow," and I look at who sent the text, and it's a guy whose wife just left him and his children aren't talking to him, and he's living in an apartment by himself, I realize that I've just been gifted. I've just been touched by the grace of Christ. Last week we were visiting, and a number of us from this church were visiting the dwelling place, church in Fayetteville. And we were worshiping with this primarily African-American community. And they were telling us stories of their 12 years, their anniversary. And over those 12 years, they have seen powerful, powerful things happen because God is with them in every moment. They know Christ is with them in every moment. And they wouldn't be there for 12 years if it wasn't for the fact that Christ was with them. And they asked if some people would give testimony. And the people that came forward to give testimony were a mother and daughter who over a year ago were both living in Fayetteville but hadn't talked to each other in quite some time. The daughter said the only thing she had was her cell phone. And she walked into the church and she asked for help. And she said, "I'm an addict. I'm going to jail. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn." And one of the people in the congregation that Sunday morning took his shirt off, literally took his sweatshirt off and handed it to her. Somebody else called a hotel and they said, "We'll get you set up, but we aren't going to let you go. We want you to become part of this family. And we will walk with you and help you." And she said, "Okay." And they did. And they helped her through the challenges of trying to get her name cleared, trying to get the convictions overturned. And during this, she can't believe what a gift of grace she's receiving. She calls her mom and says, "Mom, it's time for you to get help too." And her mom's been living in her car. And the daughter knows the mom's living in her car, and she has no idea where her mom is. But she says, "Mom, I'm at the Dwelling Place Church. They've taken me, and they'll take you in too." And the mom says, "Okay, I'm in a parking lot. I'm tired. I can't do this on my own." She looks up from where she's sitting, and she sees that she's in the Dwelling Place Church parking lot. And she waits for Pastor Marcus Carruthers to get there, and she walks in, and she tells him her story. And they're telling this to a congregation. They say, "For the last 12 months, we've been clean because of God and because of this congregation." And that is an example of God with us in this very moment. It is an example of whenever things are really challenging for us, what we do, what we are called to do, is reach out and touch the lives of others who have it worse than us, because there are always people around us that have it worse for us. If we're looking for God and we can't find God and we don't know why our lives are so miserable, reach out and touch the life of somebody who's got it worse than you, and you will find God in the process. Always. As we enter the Advent season, we are entering a time where we pray for peace. We're praying for the God of creation who brings order out of chaos, who has always brought order out of the chaos of broken lives. We are praying, "God, come soon. We know you are here. Come into my life today. Don't delay." And Jesus is saying back to us, "Yes, I am here, but I need you. Because somebody else is calling, Jesus, come soon, and I need you to be my hands and feet for those people." The peace of Christ is here, but we are called to be ambassadors of that peace. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that we have. We thank you for even the gifts of trouble and trial, because they strengthen us and they teach us. And in every instance where we are challenged, we know if we look for you, we will find you in that challenge. So in the chaos of our lives, we pray, come soon. Send us a Savior. Come yourself. Do not delay.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.